The text is Matthew 16. It begins with verse 5 and it concludes with verse 12. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Please be seated. Bread. The very word ignites so many of our senses. Maybe you didn't eat breakfast this morning and already you're thinking about that bread. We can smell it, we can see it, we can taste it. It's brought to our tables, it's sliced and bagged and wrapped in our stores. It's baked in our ovens, it's enjoyed at our tables. And I know it's diet season. You're probably already all ketoed up, or you're Atkins added, or you're intermittent fasting right now, and you've made that resolve already in the new year, or maybe even only 5 days in, you've already fallen off the wagon. I don't know. That's usually how it goes. But you know, when I say that word, you probably think of things like the breadsticks at Olive Garden. They bring you a salad and then ask you, "Do you want breadsticks?" What a ridiculous question, you know. Or that nice waitress at Cracker Barrel. "Would you like biscuits or cornbread?" What kind of question is that? You know, how about both? Right? And you say, "Well, I know now why you look the way you look, Stephen." But bread, it's around us all the time. It gets thrown at us. We enjoy it. We think about it, and I've caused you to think about it, but if you live in the Old Testament era or the New Testament century, you would probably think about it a lot more than you do now. Because that was the era before sliced bread. And that was a daily task, baking the bread for the day. That's how, when Jesus talked about daily bread in his prayer, it resonated with their ears. They understood that even more so than we do about daily bread. In the Bible, there are miracles with bread and fish that are mentioned even in the text that we read. There's the Passover in the Old Testament. The Lord's Supper in the New, and even the table set before us today. So they thought about bread and probably were more familiar with the aspects of leaven and unleavened than we are, but we can still get it. There's a context to this passage, by the way. In Matthew's Gospel, it's in chapter 16. In Mark's Gospel, it's in chapter 8. If you know anything about the Gospel framework, you know those are turning point chapters. Later in this chapter, there will be Peter's great confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus then will turn his face like flint, according to the Gospel of Luke, and he will be headed toward Jerusalem to die for our salvation. Earlier in that chapter, the Pharisees come to him and say, "We want you to give us a sign." And that's probably one of the most ridiculous questions. Signs have been all over. They knew about the miracles. They knew about the raising of the dead. They knew about the feeding of the 4,000 or 5,000 and the 7,000. They knew all of those miracles, and yet they wanted another sign. And Jesus even very graciously dealt with them and gave them the sign of Jonah, which they didn't really understand either. You can go home this afternoon and read that context. Then they get in a boat to go to the other side. By the way, one of the things I say often in teaching and preaching, you know, then is now and they are us. The disciples. Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they look around and said, "We didn't bring any bread." right over their head, you know. Jesus then patiently shares with them what he meant, and they finally get it. And there it's this gospel complex of Luke and Mark and Matthew where we're basically told that there are three types of leaven that we need to beware of. There's the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. I love what J.C. Ryle says in his commentary about this, his exposition of this passage. He said, "The great physician knew well that there would be Pharisee doctrines and Sadducee doctrines that would prove to be the two great wasting diseases of the church until the end of the world." And he goes on to talk about how the Pharisees added to and the Sadducees took away from the word. That's what Jesus is talking about, is adding to or taking away. The Pharisees were really good at adding to. They had so many regulations about the Sabbath that the meaning of the Sabbath was lost. They had so many regulations about washing hands that the meaning of washing hands was lost. Everything was so much ritual. And we too can be guilty of adding to the Scriptures. Let me give you some examples of that. I call it pretexts that are in search of proof text. What I mean by that is we've already made up our mind what we think is true. We're just going to find something in the Bible to support it. And we laugh about that, but we all do it. It's the difference. If those of you in seminary, we learn about doing exegesis, of exegeting the text, bringing out of the text its meaning. Some of us are not real good at that. We're better at eisegeting, and that is putting our meaning into what it says. Let me give you two examples, by the way. These are just little asides. I've heard well-meaning, solid people say, "Well, after all, the Bible says you have not because you ask not." And my wife always, very graciously, if I'm sitting at a table or she's close enough, she will tap me on my leg or pat me on my arm when someone says that, because she's heard me wax less than eloquent over that misinterpretation. "Because you ask not, you have not because you ask not" is in a context in the book of James that talks about how bad we are at asking. We ask for the wrong things for the wrong reasons. Now, there is that verse that says, "Ask and it will be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be given unto you." That's one way we misinterpret it. And then the other one is, have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, after all, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves"? That one really gets me going. Now there is Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, ye sluggard." But I can tell you this. If you think that's what the Bible says, let me give you a little bit of correction this morning. The Bible is about a God who helps those who cannot help themselves. That's really what the Bible is about. Because otherwise none of us would be saved. Because He gave and did for us what we could not and would not have done for ourselves. So we all do it. But Jesus talks about how deadly it is. We add, we take out of context, we add on to the Scriptures. And it's like leaven. A little leaven produces a lot of effect on the bread of our life. There's taking away. And that might be more of the Sadducees' things. You pare down the Bible to it's just about loving people. And we are supposed to love people, by the way. And most of the time, loving people, just let them live however they want to live. You know, it's just let them live and it's live and let live. But the Bible talks about responsibility. The Bible talks about having people share with us about our lives and pour into our lives. The Bible's about accountability. And sometimes accountability can mean coming alongside a brother or sister and getting in their faith. But the Sadducees, you see, they took away so much. They were just kind of like, they minimized it to the point where they could just go along and get along with everything. And sometimes we're guilty of that when we believe the Bible really doesn't address all of our life. Listen to what the Westminster Confession of Faith says about the Bible that we read from. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture. Do you really believe that today? Do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? That Scripture addresses everything about me, everything in my life. I don't need anything else except the Word of God. I don't need anything else for faith and life. I don't need anything else to understand how to be saved. It's all either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture. And yet many of us go and look everywhere else besides the Bible for solutions to our problems. By the way, I'm going to be a bit self-serving at this point. If you want to learn a little more about how not to do that and how to do better at that, I start a class this Wednesday night in A209 on lay counseling in the local church. And we're going to talk a lot about how the Bible addresses all of our problems. 6:30, be there. Be glad to share 12 weeks of study of that with you. We can be guilty of the leaven of the Pharisees. We can be of adding to. We can be guilty of the leaven of the Sadducees, of taking away from the Scriptures. And we can also be guilty in one place in the Gospels of the leaven of Herod. And that had to do with politics primarily. You know, some people are like Herod. They think through politics the kingdom can be brought. And the Bible explicitly makes it clear that we need good men and women in office, and thank God for those who live out their faith in the office that they're elected to. But the best of them know that real change is more than political change. Real change starts with the change of the individual. And Herod just would compromise about anything just to keep his office, just to keep his position. The leaven of Herod is the belief that if we get the right candidate, the right party in office, that everything will be fine. And politics are important. And we thank God for our elected officials who live out their faith. But what we need is gospel transformation, both of individuals and then of our society as we find our place in that society and live out our faith, whether we're elected to office or wherever God might plant us. So, beware of leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees of adding to. Beware of leaven of the Sadducees of taking away. Beware of the leaven of Herod of believing too much in the body politic. And while we're on the subject of leaven, let's just go through the rest of the Bible in summary. You know, there's Exodus 12, the Passover. They didn't have leaven then. In fact, they got all the leaven out of the house. God was about to act. He was about to do something. They didn't have time for the bread to rise. They had to get ready to go because He was about to do something. He was going to save them. And that's why even at this table we serve unleavened bread in connection with that Old Testament tradition. There's one other place that leaven is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's mentioned in an interesting context. Paul asks the question, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. Do you know what the context of that one was? Church discipline. He said, and Paul was talking to him in 1 Corinthians 5, there was someone who living in open, rebellious sin before everyone, and nobody was saying anything about it. And Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, cleanse out the old leaven. That's a whole nother subject, a whole nother several sermons. So let's pull it all together today. Let me ask you to think of four words, and you can write them down if you will, to help you remember about leaven. There's two S's and two P's. I didn't get it all alliterated. I probably should have sent it to Dr. Reeder. He could have worked it out. But two S's and two P's. Small, stealthy, pervasive, and positive. Small, stealthy, pervasive, and positive. Small. The size of leaven is small. The smallest error of interpretation can lead to a great departure from truth. I'll give you one great example of that. It really came down to one letter. It just was because of the language. If you've ever read about the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, it was all about who is Jesus. Is he really God? Is he really man? And that debate, my friend, came down to the difference of one letter. And it was the letter I. There were some who believed that Jesus was only similar to God. Homoiousios. Those who believed the truth of the Scripture said, no, he's not just similar to God. He is God and man. He is homoousios. And the only difference between those two words is the letter I. Now, not every error is so easily detectable. But I can tell you this, as you read about those accounts, whenever those who believed that he was just similar to God began to speak, those who believe Orthodox faith took their hands and put them over their ears because they didn't even want to hear it. They were afraid of the heresy that was being espoused by those who would say that which was so far from the truth of Scripture. One little letter, one little jot, one little tittle made a difference. So leaven is small. Error can be small, but it can have huge, huge implications. It works stealthy. That's a word that means shady, sly, sneaky, cunning, devious, covert. It's given to acting in secret and to concealing one's intentions. Leaven, false teaching, is stealthy. Thirdly, it's pervasive. The influence of leaven is pervasive. A little leaven does leaven the whole lump. It only takes a little leaven, a little yeast, to make the whole loaf rise. And then it begins to exist in every part of the loaf. It spreads to all parts of something. It affects the whole. But it is so small, so stealthy, that it's not noticed till it becomes pervasive. And that's why we need the illumination of God's Spirit to keep us on our P's and Q's, to keep us in the Word, always asking God to give us insight and understanding that we might not add to or take away from. Now, all of that's kind of negative. But you know, there is a positive leaven. You're wise enough to do that today. You're able to hold those two tensions that leaven is bad and leaven is good. The Bible talks about the good leaven in Luke 13. It talks about it in verses 20 and 21. And again, Jesus said to them, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. So the kingdom of God's like leaven. The kingdom of God, that royal, regal reign of His life, of Him in our hearts and in our lives as we live faithfully in the world in which He has put us. And it causes us to think about this is something special because there are at least three other mentions of three measures of flour in the scripture, and every one of them had something to do with when God was doing something extraordinary in the lives of people. Abraham and Sarah entertaining heavenly guests in Genesis 18:6. They used three measures of flour. By the way, that's 2 gallons. The usual measure for a loaf of bread was 3 cups. So Jesus is talking about a lot of bread here. And Abraham and Sarah made a lot of bread on that special occasion. Gideon did the same in Judges 6. Hannah did the same in Samuel 1. Each time God was doing something extraordinary, so there was a need for a lot of bread, a big biscuit, a lot of loaves. The word hid in the parable is the word from which we get our word encrypto, encrypted. It was folded in. It was kneaded into the dough. As participants in the kingdom of God, God's righteous, redemptive, and regal reign in our hearts and in this world, where are you needed? And I'm going to play with that word this morning. Where are you needed? N-E-E-D-E-D. And where in 2020 will you be? K-N-E-A-D-E-D. All of you bread makers know what I'm talking about. Where are you going to be needed? Where is it that God wants you to be? In that neighborhood, in that community, in this church, in the choir, in that classroom, at that school, in your family. Where are you needed? And you might say, well, I'm so small, I don't really can't make... Do you really think I can make a difference? Hear me, Jesus says you can. The kingdom of God is like leaven. Littleness in His hands becomes big. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just as it can be negative, it can be positive as well. January 5, 2020, here today, about to come to the table where there will be bread served and a cup, spiritual food for the journey. What are you going to do in that journey this year? Where are you needed? Where will you be needed? Let's pray. Father, I pray that You will give us ears, minds, and hearts to keep hearing Your Word. That this ideal of a warning would cause us to fear any small departure from the teaching of Your Word, any way of minimizing what it would say to how we should be, how we are to be living and who we are and about our world. And Lord, that we would also hear Your Word today about Your kingdom being like leaven, and that Your kingdom is within us and Your kingdom can be lived out even here now. Give us strength. Give us strength, O Lord, to do that and to do it well, to do it better this year than we have before. Give us a long obedience in the same direction, O Lord. Give us a strong resolve to live our lives faithfully to the calling that You've given us in the gospel. We can't do that on our own. We confess that, Lord. We will fail miserably if we try to do that with our own strength. But at this table, in Your Word, are food that will energize us for this work. So may we eat and drink deeply this day. For there's a world out there waiting that needs the light and hope that You will shine through us to them. Give us strength to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.